So believe it or not, today's message is not on Psalm 23. So I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. True or false, we live in a world that needs to see Jesus. And Jesus has said, we are the light of the world, we are the salt of the earth. He wants to shine through us. True or false, we live in a world that needs to hear that only Jesus saves. And the question is, who's going to tell him? And the Bible says that if we are a believer in Jesus Christ, he wants us to be the ones telling others. Jesus can be your Savior and your forgiver. He wants us to be telling others. Jesus can be the leader and friend that you never imagined you could have. So it's just a simple message. Go and tell. So let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Amen. So a simple message, and here's just kind of a straightforward thought. Go and tell regardless. Most of us are familiar enough with the Bible. Acts was written by Luke. Luke also wrote a gospel. And those two books go together. In the book of Luke, he's basically telling the story of Jesus. You move into the book of Acts, and he's telling how the church grew. And let me kind of give you some context for the verses that we read. In Acts chapter 1, verse 15, Luke wrote, "In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. That's not a very large group, is it? This was after 3 years of his ministry. This was after all the excitement about his healings, about his teachings. And yet life has a way of filtering out who is with you and who is not with you. And so we have the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. We have his ascension back into heaven. And the group that gathers is about 120. A few days later, the day of Pentecost occurs. And God pours out his Spirit on that group of 120. And reading in Acts chapter 2, it says, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number that day." God can do incredible things faster than what we sometimes think. You got a group of 120. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon that group. They start testifying. Peter preaches a message. And 3,000 people are baptized. They profess their faith in Christ. And they join this once small group. Reading in Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." This was a group of people that was moving beyond hearing and understanding to believing and trusting. And I want to point that out because it is so good to be in church, every time we can be in church. So good to participate in a Bible study whenever and wherever we can. But at the end of the day, hearing and understanding is not enough. You have to move to believing and trusting. Reading Acts 4:4. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. And then in Acts chapter 5 also, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. So the church literally is just exploding. In Acts chapter 5 verse 42, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. So let me ask us a question. Have we stopped teaching and proclaiming that Jesus is the Savior of the world? They never stopped. Have we stopped? When was the last time we had that spiritual conversation? When was the last time we asked someone for their permission to tell them about Jesus? When was the last time, with just a heart that cares, we asked someone, do you know Jesus personally? What would it mean to you to be able to say, Jesus is my Savior, my forgiver. He's the leader of my life. He's the best friend I have. Yes. Have we stopped? Acts chapter 6. Luke, in his story, introduces Stephen. In that chapter, and it's going to be on the screen, it's verse number 8. Look at how Luke described him. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. We may never be just like Stephen. God may never give us the opportunity to do all the things that Stephen did. But because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, all of us, we can be filled with God's grace. We can be filled with God's power. And in that sense, God's grace literally means a composure and a character that is like Jesus. God's power means a strength, an inner strength, and a spirit, an indomitable spirit that wants to make Christ known, that wants to bring glory to Him, that wants our lives to make a difference. And that's how we're introduced to Stephen. Some preachers today have described him this way: tender-hearted, and tough. He could do what needed to be done. So, God just opens these doors in Stephen's life, and literally, his message and his ministry is increasingly becoming dynamic. And sometimes when that happens, not everybody is excited. The life and the ministry, the message of Jesus, it could not be more dynamic, and yet he was crucified. Stephen got caught up into that same ongoing friction between the religious leaders of that day and the Jesus who he was following and obeying. There's a verse in it's Acts chapter 6 and verse 11. Listen to this. It's about the members of the Sanhedrin. It says, they secretly persuaded some men to say, we have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Secretly persuaded. All the arm twisting, all the bribing. It goes on in our governments. God help us. It sometimes goes on in churches. God help us. Because it never brings about the glory of God. They marked Stephen. They targeted Stephen. And he literally gets drug in. And all these false accusers are telling their lies. And it's like they're whipping up the crowd into a frenzy against him. And then they ask him, is all of this true? We can be so given to trying to prove ourselves right and make our point. Stephen, with that grace and with that power, boldly, factually, powerfully, he talked to his people, told them their entire history in the light of God's word, and called them out for their unbelief and their rejection of Christ. And they killed him. Acts 6:54 says, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. Acts 6:57, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. And Stephen became the first martyr of the Christian church. We didn't sign up to be Christians to die. But if we're really taking our faith seriously, and if we really are committed to following Jesus, then we do have to understand. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Maybe I could say it this way. He's only saying, if you have to, die for me. He's saying, what I want you to do is to live for me. Live for me. Go and tell, regardless. So look again with me. The words are on the screen. Acts chapter 8, 1 and 2. And Saul approved of their killing him. He was there. He was not yet the Apostle Paul. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. We don't have an easy parallel to that because Texas is so big. You can drive all day and may or may not get out of it, depending on which way you go. But these believers literally got ran out of their city. They had to start their lives over. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. You know how we could say that today? At that time, in that moment, Saul, he saw every believer as a clear and present danger to everything that he believed. Saul, someone who was so deeply religious that he had become so self-righteous that he could find himself in a way that if you were going to describe what he was doing and where his heart is, he was brutal and bloodthirsty. Saul. He didn't just go after the men, he went after the women. And he was all about attacking everything that he was against. Do you know that the Bible tells us as followers of Christ we are to love our enemies? Love them. That's not easy to do in the flesh, is it? It's not easy to do when we're being mistreated. It's not easy to do when we're being overlooked. It's not easy to do when somebody is literally hell-bent on trying to change our mind and get us to see things the way they see things. Maybe we're a lot more like Saul at times than we think we are. God help us. So for us as believers, what if we could just look at a story like this and God could kind of settle it in our hearts? Go and tell regardless. Regardless. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before them. Our silence causes us to miss out on some of the greatest blessings and rewards that God would like to give us. Go and tell, regardless. 1 Peter chapter 4. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Can we be that happy? Can we be that devoted to the one who lived a sinless life, died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the grave? Can we say as the Apostle Paul, thankfully, who was no longer Saul, could we say as he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who will believe. What a message, folks. How many of you have noticed that our culture in our country has changed? Here's a couple of quotes that you may or may not have heard in the last few months. Throughout most of American history, it's been pretty easy to call yourself Christian. It didn't even occur to people that you might be shunned or ridiculed for defending the teachings of the Bible. But things are different now. What are we going to do? Another quote, some of the loudest voices for tolerance today have little tolerance for traditional beliefs. Be ready. Be ready not to go out and pick a fight. Not to go out and to mistreat and be unkind to others. But also not to back down to sharing the good news. The only news that can save a person from hell. Go and tell, regardless. Let me give you one more. Go and tell, because. Acts 8:4. Those who have been scattered preach the word wherever they went. Doesn't that sound so cool? We're all going to leave from here in a little while. As we go and we interact with others, why not give them one of our little invitational cards about Bethel? Why not ask a person that you run into, did you get a chance to go to church today? That's all. See where it leads. Go and tell because. This word preached, I love it. It means to announce good news. How many of you are already ready for Christmas? Christmas is coming. The stores will be inviting us to buy sooner than we would like. So let me bring a little Christmas into this message this morning. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Who announced the good news in that one? It was an angel. And hold on to this. An angel is a messenger of God. Okay? So, to preach, to bring glad tidings, reading from the Gospel of Luke, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Who spoke those words? An angel to the shepherds. Now listen to this one. This word preach, to announce good news, to bring glad tidings, to proclaim, to declare, and announce that Jesus saves. Okay, so let me give you the words of Jesus. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures or all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. The most loving person who ever walked on the face of this earth did not lie or mislead people about what was at stake when it comes to your relationship with Jesus. So, we have an angel talking to Joseph. We have an angel talking to shepherds. They're all preaching the good news. Could I suggest to you that if you want to be an angel, get out here and go and tell somebody. You can be God's messenger. And I think I almost see your halos beginning to rise. Look at that person next to you right now and say, you're looking a little more angelic. I understand that when we use that word, we think about it in the terms of having to be good. I want to say to you, the best thing we can ever do in this world is to tell somebody about Jesus. Be angelic. Go and tell because. Okay. Man, there's so many other things to say here. I'm trying to settle down. I am. I can't promise you anything, but I am trying. So, let me talk to you about George Stott. Interesting looking dude. Lived in the 1800s. Okay, born in Scotland. God gave him an unbelievable ministry. Unbelievable ministry in China. His wife, named Grace, wrote this about his life. Let's just see if we can hear what she's saying about him and see how that relates to us. This is what she said. Mr. Stott had been brought up to farm work. But when he was about 19 years of age, he slipped on the road and knocked his knee against a stone. This simple accident resulted in white swelling. which 2 years later necessitated the amputation of the left leg. Would you hold on to that for a moment? For 9 months, he lay a helpless invalid. And it was during this time that the Lord graciously saved his soul. So far, he had been careless and indifferent to the love of God in Christ Jesus. But now, in his helpless condition, in what seemed his ruined future, how precious that love came. What does God have to do to get our attention? What are we willing to do after He's got our attention? ¿19 years old? You just trip. You hit your knee against the stone, and 2 years later they have to amputate your leg. Anything and everything you thought about your future seems totally off the table, and God shows up. So here's George in this turnaround experience, and a man by the name of William Carey is recruiting to get missionaries to go to China to do God's work. And George says, "Send me." Not only did William Carey's ministry team accept him, they got him a new leg and sent him on his way. So he lands about 4 months later. That was a long boat ride, by the way. He lands about 4 months later, Shanghai. And I don't know the backstory as to why he picked the city, the port city that he went to, but he picked a place where no one had ever shared the gospel. And he started teaching and preaching. This man died at age 54, but he spent the rest of his life going and telling because. Going and telling because. I want you to see a picture of a city. This is that port city where he landed. The oldest church in the city still stands as a testimony to his work from the 1800s. If you go to TripAdvisor and look at things to do in this city, it's ranked number 15 on out of a list of 53 of places to go visit and see. But I think maybe this is what is most astounding to me. This one city right here is called the Jerusalem of China. The Jerusalem of China. It is estimated today that there are about 6 million people in this area, and at least 600,000 of them are evangelical Christians. And they track their roots back to this place. And then just speaking of current events that just blows my mind, the Chinese government has cracked down on religious activity in that area. Sunday school has been outlawed. And the Christians there are now using their private homes to teach the kids. And I read a quote just this morning. I was still intrigued by this city and this spiritual story. And I read this quote and mom Faith comes first. Grades come second. And her home is now a Sunday school destination. They are calling them daycares and all kinds of other names. But folks, this is one of these countries in the world that literally values education above almost any and everything else. And you got someone who is so strong in their faith that they're going to take the risk of having a Sunday school in their house, and they want to go on record publicly, and they used a different name for their own protection, and they said, faith comes first, education comes second. I just want to ask us, how do we not have Bible studies in our life? How are we not bringing our kids up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? How are we content to put the people we say we love the most at the greatest spiritual danger they could ever face? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Jesus. Now to a cross. Jesus, who paid the price for our sins. He says, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. Let's stop complaining about what we don't like about our government or about the world. Let's just change our focus. And let's just remind each other, we have been saved by God. We are members of the family of God. And He just simply wants us to go and tell. Go and tell regardless. Go and tell because. I'm going to try to close. I love this quote by Rick Warren. Let's just read it slowly together. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, peace of mind, or even your happiness. It is far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. That's what we're trying to find. That's what we're trying to get back to. We all have a calling, a destiny in life. But it should never supersede being a child of God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, whatever you do, whatever you eat, drink, we could add say, do, go, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I mentioned to Karen this week, just talking to her a little bit, and you know, hey, what are you going to be preaching on Sunday since it's not Psalm 23? And I commented to her, I said, I am so excited about Missions Emphasis Month next month, just a few Sundays away. I said, I'm so excited, I got to start talking about it this week. And then when I started thinking and praying about this, God took me to this passage and I started working on this message. And it broke my heart. Because I need to be challenged to go and tell regardless. I need to be challenged to go and tell because. We honestly don't have anything more important to do than to spend the rest of our lives trying to make sure that people hear the good news about Jesus. Why did we stop going? Why did we stop telling? Why did we start believing the lie that all I need to do is to try to live a good life? We need to go and tell. So that's my message today. There's a prayer that we often have up on the screen. Give you a few moments to look at it and read it. If you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, please say yes today. No one in this room has any guarantee that you'll be walking on this planet tomorrow. There is a God who loves you, and He just wants you to say yes. For all of us who know Jesus, we need to really be willing to be honest with ourselves. Am I following Him? And am I living for Him? Am I going and telling others about Him? And if not, then honestly, folks, we need to confess our sins. And we need to ask God to give us that grace and power we need to be different and to make a difference. Amen.